Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it's time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And this week we have Jamie Truman, who hosts the Truman Charities Podcast, a philanthropist's guide to charitable organizations, and is one of the co-founders of Truman Charities, an organization that is 100% volunteer-based. And she has the book Vanishing Fathers. Thank you so much for being with us. This is something that we talk about every so often, just the cultural impact, the real impact of it. And it's something that, politically speaking, so many people, I think even who recognize it, they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to offend certain segments of the population. But I want to start off asking, what prompted you to write the book Vanishing Fathers?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me on. It's a real pleasure. And, you know, what happened is that, as you had mentioned, my husband and I started the volunteer-based organization Truman Charities about 14 years ago. We raised about $2 million for various charities. And so when I would talk to these founders of nonprofits, and we have about four or five per year, and there was kind of this underlying issue with, you know, fathers not being involved, but it really didn't spark kind of my real interest until I started my podcast, and that's where I interview nonprofit founders, and I've interviewed, I think over 100 now, and that just seemed to be coming up every single time I was talking to people, is that these fathers were not there, they weren't involved, they had a very complicated or dysfunctional relationship with their father, and, you know, personally, on my side, I grew up and my father was, you know, has substance abuse issues, and so I know personally how that affected me, but it wasn't until I started to talk to so many other people that I didn't, you know, that I finally realized that this is a very large problem in our society.
I'm not an expert in this. I share your belief. And frankly, some of this, I don't even think one needs to be that much of an expert just to understand the realities of it. Some of it does seem kind of obvious. And, you know, men and women generally have these, you know, balances where women have certain attributes, men don't, vice versa. And I've always in my mind recognized the benefit of having, as a child growing up, a mixture of those two things, but something listening to you, I was actually listening to another interview that you did that I thought was interesting is that, because in my mind, I just saw it as this timeline of shared benefit. But in reality, like the very early years, right after birth, is generally when the child benefits more from the mother. But then as we grow up and we get to more of the toddler age, that's when the father's characteristics come in to be beneficial. Talk about that a bit, if you would. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and if you think about it, you know, if you really break it down, it's kind of common sense, right? So let me give you an example. I had had my first son with my husband, and I'm sitting there in my mind, you know, I'm nursing. I would just want to make sure he's fed and he's warm and comfortable, right? Like, this is like, are they sleeping? Are they fed? Are they warm? Like, those are the three things that go through like a mom's head, and that's all I'm thinking about. And I walk into the room, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm talking to my husband. He's like, I'm setting up their 529. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm setting up their college fund. I mean, like, the way that the two people think are so different, like, it's the perfect yin and yang, right? And so, and then if you look, say if you're going to a park, let's go to another common sense, you know, observation. So you go to the park, and what do you see? Moms, and I see it myself, I'm very much very over, like, we're very nurturing, so you don't want to get hurt. Oh my gosh, don't do that. That's going to hurt. You know, that's how we speak to our kids. We have this nurturing. We really want to protect them. And then the dads come in and there's so much encouragement. They're like, no, go on the monkey bars. You fall. That's okay. Get back up. Run. And they have that encouragement that gives kids the confidence to be independent.
You know, there's, you can easily find, I'll see them pop up on social media, and it's generally a dozen or so clips, and it'll be under the banner of, you know, hero dads or something. And they're always funny clips like that, a dad catching the kid at the last minute or doing, you know, pushing the kid on the bike and goes down the hill and almost, and it's exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly is. And, you know, just to give, you know, your listeners a little bit of, you know, statistics is that, and it's really, really astonishing when you look at it. It's, if you look at youth and homeless youth, 90% of them don't have an involved father. 71 youth that have substance abuse don't have a father. 71 high school dropouts don't have a father. 70% of exploited girls don't have a father and fall. Like, look how high these numbers are. Yeah. And so it really is just, it was blowing my mind that we have all of these conversations going on, but we're not having this one. And it's affecting so many children.
We are talking with Jamie Truman, the author of the book Vanishing Fathers. There's at the same time these cultural evolutions that have been taking place. I mean, we're well in them now. And on one hand, it is the toxic masculinity, the demonization of that, while celebrating single moms. Celebrating almost as a virtue that they're not being a father in the picture. And it just seems as if from the two genders in which a child can most benefit, the culturally speaking, they've been formulated into the worst case scenario for the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, and you know, I had a couple people after I did my Fox segment, I had a couple single moms reach out to me and they were upset about the segment. And, you know, I tried to explain, I said, you know what, you read the book, because I have so much affirmation and, right. and I have such high respect for single moms, because what they have is an impossible task, which is being two people. I was brought up by a single mother, and I saw the sacrifice and how hard it was, because as much as you try, you cannot be the father too, but you'll not stop trying. But it's an impossible situation that they're in, and they just have a much harder job on their hands, and I feel for them. I have a lot of empathy towards single moms, but it should... When we get down to it, we should be talking about what is the optimal situation right. for a child. An optimal situation is for mother and father. And if the father, for some reason, and I talk to a lot of people in the book, they have lost their father, or say something happened with the father. You know, the best thing that you can do is you have to, which I saw, is some sort of mentor or some sort of father involvement. Say, you know, I spoke to a woman and she had lost her husband and her father really came in to help out, or, you know what I mean? So there always has to be someone else helping, because we are built very differently. Biologically, women are, and men are biologically built very differently. So we bring equal traits, different traits to a child to help them become a very well-adjusted, secured, and loved child through their childhood into the well-adjusted adult. And then I'm not saying that they won't be without a father, but it's just a little bit more of a difficult road. Well, and it puts a lot more pressure on the mother.
And I would imagine, to that point, the reason that the book is Vanishing Fathers is because that's the component that's vanishing. If mm-hmm. if it was Vanishing Mothers, that would be just as much of concern as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as I said when I was talking earlier, I mean, when a baby's first born, I mean, they are so connected to the mother. Like, they are basically, their whole livelihood is based on me being around. So, you know, and we bring other great attributes to this child, but it's just the optimal situation for a child is to have both. And we just really need to be speaking about this. And I don't understand why this conversation isn't happening with young adults. And I mean, they're actually more like young children. When we're going to these health classes and things of that nature, they should be reading about these stats. These little boys should know how important they are in society and what will affect their child if they're not around. And also girls understanding the effect that it will have on their children if the father is not around.
Well, and I wonder too, as we talk with our author of the week, Jamie Truman, the book Vanishing Fathers, and you know, we think vanishing in the sense that, okay, there's not a man there. Mm-hmm. But as we see more and more boys grow up, as you know, into being a man that also didn't have a father, and at the same time downplaying the importance of fathers, the significance of fathers, how much of the vanishing father is the beneficial personality traits of the man that are missing. So in other words, maybe the father is in the picture, but he has been raised in a way that strips him of those character traits that are so important to pass along to the child.
I mean, that's interesting. And all I can say, and I talk about in this book, and that's why I think it's so important for you know, parents to read and children to read, is that we're really embracing those biological traits, because masculinity is very important. And there is nothing toxic about this. And I hate when people throw that terminology around, because masculinity is what keeps society safe. And so, you know, I was talking in one interview, and I said, you know, let me explain it this way. I have a husband, I have three boys, and if somebody breaks in the house, my husband's the first one down the stairs. And if we have a fire, he's the last. So yeah. There should be some respect within that masculinity. When things hit, you know, if, you know, SHIT hits the fan here, we're looking for masculine men to save us. So these traits are so valuable within society. And instead of telling children and telling boys that that's bad, and that their masculine traits are bad, what we need to be doing is really celebrating those traits, because they are so valuable in life. I mean, it's valuable with my family. Like, I wouldn't feel safe unless my husband, you know, if I knew, I know he's our protector. Like, I know if anything happens and he's going to take care of us. And that's really, and I think that, you know, every woman should feel that way.
Part of what you do in your book, Vanishing Fathers, in order to perhaps make it a little more digestible or relatable, are you share real life stories with people that are maybe known by the reader, some better known people, celebrity status to some degree, who have grown up with the challenges of a vanishing father, but were able to overcome them. Are there any of those in particular that you find, maybe you get a lot of feedback on from the reader that says, man, that person's story really resonated with me?
Wow, it's been fantastic, because what I did, and I wanted to make sure, is that I had people from various backgrounds, all different type of circumstances, so people would know that even though you may have grown up without a father and you've had more of a difficult road, it's not impossible at all for you to grow up and be a strong man in society and be a wonderful and loving husband and father. So, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, I know, you know, we had Victor Marx on there, and he was wonderful. He went through the impossible when he was a child through abuse, and now he's a worldwide humanitarian, helping, you know, hundreds of thousands of children and women that have been through some really terrible situations. And then, you know, I spoke with Peter Grumble, and he was in a cult growing up, and then ended up graduating from Yale Law School, and has been wonderful within society and helping so many other individuals. You know, I interviewed Justin Pugh, which is, he played for the Giants in the NFL, and he was a really interesting one, because I had interviewed him, and we first were going to talk about the loss of his father, and it really turned into this wonderful conversation about the involvement of his stepdad and how he really had so much influence on him. And that's kind of what I had said earlier. It's like, you know, when you have a loss of a father or they're not around, having someone else step in for that role and really taking over is so very important for young children. And that's just a couple. There's just so many other great stories within this. And the greatest, you know, and the really great thing I think about this and in this book is that, you know, I really want it to help so many people. So as many people as we possibly can. So 100% of the proceeds are going to be going to charity for at-risk youth, different charities. So, you know, we're hoping that this will help in so many different ways.
Well, I appreciate you being with us this morning and the book, and I would really encourage people to pick it up, because there is this instinct. You noticed, or you noted you know, the conversation that you had with a mother or two that was a single mother and taking offense to this. And people do, they feel, I think, as you do, sympathy for single moms. And so they don't want to feel as if they are insulting the abilities, that here they are undertaking something that is more difficult because they are a single mother. And I don't want to make them feel bad or as if they're failing, but that's not what this is about. And I think the book is done in a way that can help people realize that it's not about protecting the feelings of the mother, but what's best for the mother and the father and the child as well. The book is Vanishing Fathers. The author of the week, Jamie Truman, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.